Welcome to LSC Radio, broadcasting from the LSC Radio Studios in beautiful downtown Loveland, Ohio. Hi, I'm Jill Gornett.
And I am Michael Harris Kaiser.
And welcome to our holiday show. If you enjoy this episode and would like to contribute to the arts, visit lovelandstagecompany.org. Click on Donating to LSC. Please help us keep the arts alive in beautiful downtown Loveland, Ohio. This episode is LSC Radio's holiday special, directed by Michael Harris Kaiser. Music performed by John Nixon. Produced by Jill Gornett and Michael Harris Kaiser. Now grab a snack, sit back, relax, and enjoy our holiday special, Christmas songs and stories.
For the first act of our program, we have Jenna and Lily Schroeder reading an original story called Mary's Journey, followed with a song of Silent Night. After that, we have Susan Shapiro reading a story of celebrating two holidays at one time.
Greetings, everyone. My name is Jenna Schroeder, and I'm so glad that you're tuning in with us. I have written a story to share in hopes that it might bring some encouragement. I know it's been a hard year for all of us, but maybe we can take heart in that from some of the hardest places, the most beautiful things are born. This is Mary's Journey. We have to do what? Move, Mary. We have to move. It's not safe for us here. She looked at her new husband, eyes pleading. Look at my belly, she thought. I am just days away from giving birth. Can I endure this? Who will be my helper when the little one comes? Their eyes met. Joseph, in his caring way, reached for her. It'll be okay, Mary. I'll take care of you. God will take care of us. He wouldn't ask us to do this if it weren't necessary. There is so much more to this. This baby. We have to listen. I know I don't have much time, she sighed, with the worry creasing her face. Knowing the submission needed for this quest, she nodded. I can't stop trusting now. Joseph grabbed the small leather satchel that had carried them from place to place. Not much would fit. Mary packed what she could to tide them over for their long journey. They saddled up their ride, and with Joseph's help, Mary was hoisted on top of their donkey. This will be far more challenging than heading to market. The truth pained her, knowing what lied ahead. In the blanket of the night, their travels would be kept secret. She glanced up and saw the moon in its fullness, and it gave Mary hope. She knew if there was a God big enough to make the moon and stars that lit their path, then surely he was big enough to trust his plan for her. He hasn't failed me yet, she thought. Though, sometimes I think you forget. I'm human, she jested in her heart. My promise still stands, though, Abba. My life is yours. The couple wandered the desert plains, alone on the road for most of their journey. Their togetherness brought Joseph comfort. I never expected to be on such a road, God. I just wanted a family, he thought. But this? It's unraveling. Sweet young Mary with child. Trusting the voice I heard is your voice? Ugh, here I am leading her far away from home right before childbirth. She has great faith in you. She has great faith in me. Oh God, help me not to fail. I'm so afraid. But I know you are good, and you work for the good of those who love you. Desperate for a drink, they trotted on, eventually nearing a well. Joseph knew they couldn't travel much longer. But where would they go? What would God provide? Encouraging this one he now called home to take a drink, he thought about their next stop. Joseph had heard of an inn in Bethlehem. That's where they could head. If only he could make Mary more comfortable along the way, anything would be better than riding on the steed. Oh, the poor thing. She's strong, though, he chided himself. She is strong, and I am strong. And our God? Well, he's with us. Yes. Emmanuel. The very name means God with us. His heart rested in that. Joseph? Yes, Mary. Mary shifted side to side. This discomfort was getting to her. Her body felt flushed, and she almost couldn't bear the rhythm of the donkey anymore. This very well might send me into labor, she thought. Knowing something was not right, a sure sign that her time was near, she spoke up. I can't ride anymore. I have to walk, she gasped. Is it time, Mary? Nearly. The pains have been on and off for some time now. I'll slow us down, but I need to stand. All right, I'll help you. Joseph's arms reached and carried her off the mule. As her feet touched the ground, she yelled, ouch! The pain was great. Her legs almost buckled beneath her with a surge of a contraction. The baby moved down, that change in position. He responded to it. That's good, Mary. Here, lean on me. We can go as slow as you need. Okay. The two shuffled along, pausing often for Mary's contractions. Despite the circumstances, they were in awe of the calling upon them. And Joseph's heart? Well, it grew double watching Mary labor with each step. She amazed him. At long last, Bethlehem was coming into view. The sun rose and the sky casted colors so beautiful it took their breath away. Villagers milled about, passing the chosen couple on the narrow, dusty path. Mary closed her eyes to brave the next wave of tightness. It felt like every muscle was being squeezed inside, and the only thing that relaxed her was breathing slow and deep. Her heart knew she could do this. She was chosen for this. But her mind? It questioned her ability. Am I enough? Did God pick the right person? Can Joseph help me through all of this? Where will the baby and I lay our heads? With no midwife to support her, she would get lost in her own despairing thoughts. It was in those small moments she would hear the smallest of heart whispers. Be still, Mary. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. You can do all things through me. Her spirit knew this was true. That's right. I'll look to the mountains. That's where my help will come from. Hours and contractions passed, with each one getting stronger and Mary leaning harder on Joseph, his own strength growing weary from travel. Night had fallen, and with that came the need of a place to have their son. Seeing the innkeeper in front of the humble building ahead gave them the energy they needed to move forward. Joseph led Mary to a tree where she could lean while he talked to the man. Mary watched Joseph's cloak trail ahead to the innkeeper. Thank you, God, she thought, leaning on a fig tree. I don't have much longer. The baby won't come until I feel safe. Breathing through every pain, she went inward. Relax, she coached herself. Think about the baby. Sweaty, dirty, and nauseous, she hoped with all hope that Joseph's conversation was fruitful. But catching his expression, her heart sank. This does not look good. It's full? Are you sure? Well, is there anyone willing to give up a room for us? I'm sorry, sir. I can't ask that. You're an outsider. A weary traveler, I see. I feel for you. I really do. But I have nothing to offer you. Well, we'll take anything, please. My wife is about to give birth. We just need a place. Some privacy. We are not too proud. The man touched his dark curly beard and thought. Moved by the poor couple, he wanted to help. He could see plainly that they were in need. If he went to the other guests, it could be bad for his business. Would he dare offer his home to a stranger? Something inside him wanted to. A prick of this idea stayed but a moment, and then it left. Fear of the unknown grew, and that fear ruled out the inclination to sacrifice his own comfort. If only he had a place he could offer that wouldn't be such an intrusion. Please, Joseph begged. Please, God, help us. The thought of this woman giving birth with no place to go tugged on the innkeeper's heart. And then an idea popped in his mind. But it seemed wild. Would this man think I was crazy to offer it? Would it insult him? Ugh, look at him, though. Maybe it could be a source of refuge. Well, the innkeeper muttered, there is the stable. You could rest there. Mind you, the animals are there, and it would not be ideal for cleanliness nor smell. Looking back at Mary, Joseph's desperation mounted. Really, God? He thought. And then he remembered the prophecy. He would not come to us as anyone would expect. Peace washed over him, and he reached for the innkeeper's open hand. Yes, okay, we'll take it. Thank you so much. We won't be a bother to the animals. Joseph hustled back to Mary's side and wrapped his arm around her hip in assistance. She collapsed her body's weight onto his. Okay, it's just around the bend, that stable there, the innkeeper pointed. With a mix of compassion and embarrassment by his meager offer, he dare not walk them there. It might be too humbling for both of us. Joseph led Mary and their steed to the straw-laden stable. The dark of night felt majestic, adventurous almost. The brisk air gave them refreshment, and Mary didn't notice or care where he was leading him. She was focused on what was to come. Mary, would you like to sit here and rest a moment? Joseph asked attentively. Nodding, she followed. Barely able to speak, she winced, letting the air out. Oh, it felt good to get off her feet, but the pain seared into her hips. She grasped to brace herself and turned onto her hands and knees to relieve it. The straw sticking to her palms as she dug her hands in made some small unpleasant pokes. She sat back into her heels like a bow to her lord, a bow to the pain of what was to come, a humble state for the birth she had been anointed for. Joseph, can you rub my back? Mary pleaded. He tenderly touched the lower back of this woman he loved. He knew this was not custom, but with no woman here, he would have to support her. He asked God for wisdom as he looked around to see what was at his disposal. The animals went unbothered by their human appearance, hay in every corner of the stable, and he noticed a fresh stack in the loft above. Well, we could use that. It hasn't been touched, he thought. A bucket of water caught his eye. Yes, this could be boiled if I started a fire outside. Yes, that would be best. A place to sterilize the water and a fire to warm Mary and the baby. Mary, I'm going to gather some things. Mary nodded in response, her eyes closed. Her body knowingly gave her breaks in the pain to rest. For that, she was thankful. Joseph set to building the fire, knowing he had little time to get it stoked. Once, burning brightly, he boiled the water and set it to cool. At least we will have something, he thought. He knew they would need more, something for the baby king that was coming. Gleaning the surroundings again, he noticed a small feeding trough, tiny in measure. Perfect, Joseph thought. He could put fresh hay in that and use it for a cradle. The rest could soften a bed for Mary. Although, I'm sure Mary will hold him the rest of the night, he thought, smiling to himself. Mary groaned. Joseph! She needed him. Grabbing his hands tight, once he made his way around, she signaled to him, stay by her side. The pressure was mounting, and she thought she might die here giving birth in this strange place. Joseph looked in her eyes and spoke love through them, a love he hadn't been allowed to speak, really, not for the way their courting went. Thankful for his tenderness, Mary knew she had to lead here. This was her call, this and now. Mary positioned herself just so, giving her more support with her feet on the floor. The baby was coming. Her instincts knew it. He was ready. She breathed deep, and her body lunged itself without her doing. She could feel the crown of her savior stretching her. A slight pause came, and she panted hot air, and then the head was out. Her hand reached to cradle his head, and in a split second, the rest of him came into the world. Joseph and Mary's hands entangled, wrapping around their newborn son, this God-human on this side of heaven. They caught him and carefully brought him up to Mary's chest, and she exhaled. A relief washed over her, and she held his tiny body in her arms, stunned. Then a rush of joy exuded as she laughed and cried at the same time. Her whole body was shaking in triumph. Such a love poured out of her, and she lavished it in praise. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, my God. You have not forsaken me. Mary laid back into the hay bed Joseph had prepared, unable to move, for the rest of the afterbirth was still to come. Joseph tended to Mary with the water and a desire to continue to provide for his family. His focus couldn't be waned until everyone was safe. He knew that for sure. This is what God had entrusted him to do, and he would remain steadfast, just as Mary did. Mary, aware of the cooler temperature, gestured to a cloth hanging over a wooden peg. Joseph grabbed it promptly and warmed it by the fire and brought it to his wife. Here, it's warm for you to wrap him in. Tenderly, Mary swaddled her little baby. Isn't he perfect, Joseph, our Jesus? He is, Mary, he is perfect. As the young couple watched baby Jesus sleep in their arms, they heard a stir outside. "What's that sound?" Mary asked, her heart attentive to her little one. "It sounds like singing," Joseph replied as he stood up to look out the barn door. The starlight twinkled like he had never seen. Shepherds who were watching in the night were rejoicing. "How did they know?" Joseph asked himself. "Are they singing for our son?" God responded, "No, Joseph, they are singing for my son." Another whisper came, "He's my gift, tender one, so that they may know me and know my love." From the heart of a stable, Joseph joined the chorus echoing from the fields. Mary gazed into the eyes of the sweetest baby Savior and rejoiced too. For unto them a child was born, and what a holy night it was.
Silent night.
Silent.
Holy night.
Holy.
All is
calm. All is
calm.
All is bright.
Round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant so tender.
I'm Susan. I was raised a staunch Catholic, driven to Mass faithfully every Sunday by my father, First Communion, Confirmation, the whole bit. Then I married a Jewish guy. And while I never converted, for the past 38 years, I've been bravely trying to juggle celebrating both Christmas and Hanukkah. And I'll let you know up front, I'm a lousy juggler. Now, we all know that Christmas is on December 25th, and Hanukkah, the festival of lights that celebrates the miracle of a single day of temple oil burning for 8 days, well, it's observed for 8 days and nights, beginning on the 25th day of Kislev, which can fall any time from the end of November to late December. Now in 2013, we celebrated a rare bird, the collision of Hanukkah and Thanksgiving. And let me tell you, the feathers flew that day. I hope you took the opportunity to join in the festivities of Thanksgivica, because your next chance will come in 7,700 years. Oh, sorry for the little digression. Back to Christmas and Hanukkah. About a third of the time, the two holidays cross paths with each other. And if, like me, you are determined to celebrate both, it can be a really crazy time, especially when you have three kids. 8 days of gifts and menorah lighting, smooshed together with more gifts, putting up and decorating a tree and preparing a special holiday dinner. Visions of Hanukkah pillows and banners coexisting with green wreaths and twinkling white lights, and an evergreen tree resplendent with garlands and ornaments dance in my head. Silver and blue wrappings and red and green wrappings, potato latkes and applesauce, and turkey and cranberry and pumpkin pie. spradles and gelt and overstuffed stockings, making sure the menorah candles are extinguished before heading out to midnight mass. Stop dancing already, Visions. I'm getting a headache. Actually, that's not true. It's an absolutely chaotic and confusing time, but I love it. I really believe observing the two religious traditions and their corresponding secular trappings has enriched every member of our family, including me. Now, if you were hoping I was done, that's not quite the case. I've decided to give you a taste of how the holidays can be artfully intermingled by alternating the verses of the traditional Hanukkah song, Survivant, about spinning dreidels and celebrating a miracle, and the Christmas carol, A Little Town of Bethlehem, an homage to the birthplace of the baby Jesus. Well, here goes.
Survivant, sof, 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 Hanukkah, hu hatov, Hanukkah, hu hatov, Survivant, sof, 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 O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Chag Simcha Ulam, Nesgadol Hayasham, Nesgadol Hayasham, Chag Simcha Ulam. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Survivant, sof, 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 Hanukkah, hu chag tov, Hanukkah, hu chag tov, Survivant, sof, sof, sof.
Oh, and by the way, my Jewish husband's birthday, it's on Christmas Eve. But I'll spare you that story and that song. Anyway, Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas.
That was Jenna and Lily Schroeder with Mary's Journey and Silent Night, and Susan Shapiro with her story of Christmas Quantica.
Now we have the Hubbard Family Band playing Christmas melodies, arranged by Aiden Hubbard. Then we have Caitlin Sanderson and A First Holiday Without a Family Member. And then from the Pine Lane Farms, the baby goat storyteller Becky Jones and her friend Louie, here to read the story of a visit from St. Nicholas.
Hello there. We are the Hubbard Family Band, and we're here to play a couple Christmas tunes for you, arranged by Aiden Hubbard. These are two songs from my childhood that my grandfather and I would sing together. So I hope you enjoy. Thank you.
evening. My name is Caitlin Sanderson, and I'm going to tell you a story that I wrote. It's about a family member of mine who had passed away last Friday, December 13th, 2019, and I'm wearing this bracelet to contribute to my grandmother, Dolores. And the story I'm going to tell you is called The First Holiday Without a Family Member. My grandma Dolores died on Friday, December 13th, 2019. The family and I were sad and emotional because we did not celebrate Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas with her last year. We were devastated because of not celebrating with her. She was in and out of hospital during those holiday seasons. The family and I were there to support and taking care of her during those times. When she was alive on every one of the seasons, we enjoyed her company, her stories, and even her laughter. I remember my sister and I always went over to my grandma's apartment to help her wrap presents for the family, delivering candy canes to the residents in her apartment, and even watched Christmas movies. On Thanksgiving, my grandma always came over to my house to celebrate Thanksgiving with my family, and she even helped with the cooking and made good pie. We laughed and enjoyed the happy moments together. On Halloween, my parents, sister, and I went over to my grandma's apartment before trick-or-treating because she wanted to see our costumes. She always got a kick out of our costumes. Now, this would be our second year without celebrating with my grandma. I know she is with us in spirit, but it is just not the same without her in person. I know my sister and I, my mom, and my two aunts must go on with life, especially without her around the holidays. If my grandma was alive today, she would be enjoying seeing her new great-granddaughter, June, spending time with her loved ones, and even celebrate the holidays with us. Now, she is in heaven, watching over us, and watching her family celebrate the holidays without her by her sides. Grandma Dolores, I know you're up there, watching over us, and I'm telling this story to my dear friends and family, and our family to contribute you during this holiday. I love you with all of my heart, and I hope to see you soon. Thank you very much, everyone, for allowing me to read the story I wrote. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, everybody. I'm Becky, and this is Louie. And we are going to share our favorite Christmas story with you. It's called A Visit from St. Nicholas. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced through their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his sack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as a snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a round little belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all, good night."
Thank you, Hubbard Family Band, Caitlin Sanderson, and Becky Jones, and Louie.
For the final act of our program, we have Dave Marcus singing "Nothing But a Child," followed by Mary Schumar with her story of being a Navy wife overseas. And then to close out our program, we have Jazz McMullen singing "O Holy Night."
I'm Dave Marcus. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. I'm going to sing a song called "Nothing But a Child," which was written by a man named Steve Earle, who's actually a Nashville musician and a kind of a rock star type of person, but he wrote this pretty Christmas tune, which I have adapted to a Celtic tuning. And for all you guitarists out there, a Celtic tuning is G-A-D-D-A-G. Dad Gad, D-A-G-D-A-D. There it is. So, "Nothing But a Child." Once upon a time, in a far off land, wise men saw a sign and set out across the sand. Songs of praise they sang, they traveled day and night, precious gifts to bring and guided by the light. Chase the brand new star, give a tassel west, across the mountains far, and where it came to rest. Scarce believe their eyes, they'd come so many miles. The miracle they prized was nothing but a child. Nothing but a child to wash those tears away and guide a weary world into the light of day. Nothing but a child to help erase those miles when once again we all could be children for a while.
around the world, in every little town. Every day is heard, a precious little sound, and every mother kind, and every father proud, looks down in awe to find another chance allowed. Nothing but a child to wash those tears away and guide a weary world into the light of day. Nothing but a child to help erase those miles, so once again we all could be children for a while. Once again we all could be children for a while.
Hi, I'm Mary Schumar. Happy holidays. I imagine we'll all be glad to say goodbye to 2020 on New Year's Eve. Speaking of New Year's Eve, allow me to tell you about a New Year's Eve that was long ago and far away. It was 1978. I was a Navy wife, 24 years old, and we were spending the holidays in Palma de Mallorca, an island off the coast of Spain. Palma is beautiful, and New Year's Eve was the best. We had reservations for dinner and festivities at a small local restaurant. And I was feeling pretty in my dramatically draped pashmina, hoping that I looked like a local as we strolled to the restaurant. By then, I had discovered that the Europeans were fond of USA cowboy culture. So I quietly sang, "She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes," as we walked past the groups of people that were moseying along, and they would jubilantly burst into a chorus of yippee-yi-yi, yippee-yippee-yay, every time. Just those six words, over and over for the lyrics. I think it made our walk to the restaurant extra spiffy. The restaurant was buzzing with chatter and music when we arrived. The filled tables were small and packed closely together and festooned with party hats and noisemakers and poppers. The table beside us boasted two middle-aged German ladies, rosy cheeks, and their date for the evening, which was an inflated blue balloon with hand-drawn, smiling features propped up on a chair between them. This gentleman enjoyed many sincere toasts and accolades throughout the evening. By 9 p.m., all the poppers had been popped, and their thin paper streamers thickly covered the floor and connected the tables. The streamers would wrap around the servers' waists and legs as they trudged, giggling, from table to table, perhaps enjoying adult beverages between courses. The celebrating was so loud that I doubted the crescendo could be sustained for 3 more hours. I was wrong. Soon, a radio was turned on for the official countdown to midnight. At midnight, a bell chimed 12 times. And with each gong, we were expected to eat one grape. This tradition is supposed to bring good luck for the coming year. I am sad to report that it is pretty much impossible to eat 12 grapes that quickly. Try it. Oh, maybe that's an idea for your New Year's celebration. I wonder if 1979 turned out to be a lucky year for me. Cheers, everybody. Yippee-yi-yi, yippee-yippee-yay. Yippee-yi-yi, yippee-yippee-yay. Yippee-yi-yi, yippee-yi-yi. Tell me when to stop.
Good evening. My name is Jazz McMullen, and tonight I will be singing my version of O Holy Night. And I'd like to thank you all for letting us into your homes and into your hearts with LSC Radio. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angels' voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh, night divine, oh, night divine. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord, that Noel.
Thank you to Dave Marcus, Mary Schumar, and Jazz McMullen for their contributions to our program.
We would like to thank our year-round sponsors, Edward Jones, call financial advisor Jeffrey Atkinson, 513-697-6111.
Loveland Dairy Whip, 611 West Loveland Avenue.
Bush Ray Shea Insurance Agency, 513-683-0777.
Paxton's Grill, 126 Loveland Avenue.
Southern Gateway Chorus at southerngateway.org, where harmony comes to life.
Tano Bistro, 204 West Loveland Avenue.
La Rosa's, 513-347-1111.
Loveland Sweet Shop, 124 West Loveland Avenue.
Eads Fence Company and Loveland Hardware General Store, 131 Broadway.
Ramsey's Trailside, 200 West Loveland Avenue.
And thank you to Loveland Magazine. Thank you for tuning in to LSC Radio. And don't forget to donate if you can. Please have a happy, very Merry Christmas and a healthy, safe, Happy New Year from LSC Radio. Don't forget to look for future episodes in the new year. LSC Radio is a subsidiary of Loveland Stage Company.